from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Whether you're just wrapping up the night shift or on your way to start the day, we got what you need.
Welcome to the morning shift.
It's the most mid-team in history.
A whole new way to start your day with nationally televised reporter Tiffany Blackman.
Any pizza for me can be a personal.
Can't wait.
Former Falcons and Alabama offensive lineman Mike Johnson.
I've had my butt chewed by Nick Saban a few times.
You shut your mouth when you're talking to me.
And Atlanta sports radio guru Bo Morgan.
You know who I am? I'm Squid Bill.
You tell him I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear?
It's a new experience.
And a new take on a sports morning show.
The morning shift is on.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, here's Tiffany, Mike, and Bo.
Oh, no, it's a bait and switch. There is no Tiffany, Mike. There is a Bo. Got Nikki Noto-Palmer. I love the fact the weirdest thing about this business is I've never met you, never laid eyes upon you, and here we are. We're going to have to converse and meet each other live.
Again, Rob, we met 2 years ago.
Did we?
Yeah, yep. Hosted a show together.
We sure did.
Come on, you got to remember the early onset. Be patient with the old.
Is it onset or is it
did we work together?
Psychedelic drugs?
We did work together. My bad.
It's fine.
I don't know.
I don't take it personally.
Well,
you shouldn't.
Lifetime,
I'm the one that's ridiculous, but anyway.
You don't
Well, good
say.
Morning, everybody. Where to begin? What an exhilarating week zero, people. We're actually going to be talking about Georgia Tech football on the station, not in a mocking sort of way, not in a dismissive eye roll yawn.
A celebratory way.
A celebratory way, that is right.
Yeah, I mean, we had people from this radio station who mocked them on a daily basis, got to go all the way over to Ireland to watch their team lose to Georgia Tech, so I think that's kind of cool.
Oh, I mean, think he's still having a wonderful trip, one Mike Bell. I think he's still having a good time.
I'm sure he is, but I just think I see irony in that. Maybe I'm off on that. We talked about it, Rob, and I think you were with us. And Nikki, I know you were with us when we had Phil Still about a month ago or a couple weeks. I don't know the timeline. It's about as screwed up as Rob these days. But and Phil Still talked about how good Georgia Tech's offensive line was,
mm-hmm.
and how they, you know, that's one. And Brent, what do you expect from a Brent Key coach team? You expect the trench play to be good. I was surprised how well they played defensively. It's not about DJU or Uwe Ungalale, whatever you want to, you know, say his name or not. But the fact was that they shut down a Florida State running game that's got, you know, they're not going to be a terrible running game. Florida State's not going to be a terrible team this year. But Georgia Tech dominated them in the trenches, which was on both sides of the ball. Did not expect it quite to that level.
And we also, of course, Braves close out the homestand with a loss yesterday. Luke Jackson showed up and was the Luke Jackson of old, aside from 2021.
Yeah. I know that we've got to rest guys, but why are we putting him in a tie game?
I don't know. Snit's getting roasted for that as well.
I will say this: you can only use, you know, Holmes, Jimenez, Iglesias, Johnson, and Dylan Lee so many days in a row. And, you know, Iglesias had to get off Saturday night. He had to have a night off because he had pitched. He had a two-inning day on Friday, and he had a save on, Thursday, too. So you gotta give him time off. There's some kind of stat that Dave O'Brien had about Iglesias and how good he's been, and it's something like, I think, 23 scoreless outings or something, and some of those were multi-inning outings. He's been really good for probably the last, what do you say, 2.5 months of the season, 3 months of the season, just been phenomenal.
If you were Snit, who would you have put in?
I would have tried to see if I could run Holmes out there again. I know he pitched on Saturday, but you know he is back in a reliever type role, so I'd have had to run a Holmes or maybe I know Bummer did pitch, but Chavez hasn't been very good either. Now he did make an appearance yesterday, but he hasn't been very good as of late either.
Like 8 runs in his last 9 appearances, yeah. Something ridiculous like that. It's like Charlie, he's like me in college when I pitched. No, I was actually a little bit. I was serviceable. I was all right. Mediocre left-handed pitcher.
Who had a better fastball, you or Chavez at this point?
His is still Tribble. Better. I never hit 90. I only threw about 88, 87. But with movement, lots of movement.
Yeah, lots of movement.
Lots of movement.
They were doing a stat, and I'm getting off topic here. They did a stat on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball last night, and they were talking about the guy that was pitching for the Orioles. And they had the 3 best pitchers at throwing their splitter up there. And and the batting average was 140, like 120, and then 107. You know who was up there? One of the 3 guys, Schwellenbach.
Really?
At 140, that's the batting average against when he throws the splitter. So it's crazy to see him already up there, and he make the minimum appearances as well, and a batter's face or whatever.
Well, we're going to get to a lot of things. Of course, more on Georgia Tech, more on Georgia. But how sad was that environment inside Mercedes-Benz? How many people were there? About 2,500?
It actually was a little bit better crowd than I expected for a preseason game. The 3rd preseason game, knowing that our starters weren't going to play.
I felt like, I of course had to watch it since I do the Falcons flyover. It felt like it was punishment having to watch that nonsense.
I've seen better preseason games.
Oh, Lord.
I've worked better preseason games. It was weird when they send out their first string and their starters are out there, and you have Heinicke starting for you, who I don't know if he'll be on the roster come tomorrow afternoon at 4 o'clock. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how many guys we saw that will be on the roster come 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon when cuts have to be made. That's not a knock on any of those guys. I mean, you look at who already has been gone. Donovan Mooten was the player of the game. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had like 18 combined and I think 15 solo tackles. He played well in the linebacker spot, and he's already been let go. Now, I think he'll be back on this practice. I think he'll be on the 16-man practice.
Did you hear Arch's interview with him after the game?
Yeah, I was there.
What a likable, such an emotionally mature, spiritually mature. There's a depth to him. Mm-hmm. Everything just expressing gratitude. He's okay with wherever he ends up. He knows he's ultimately going to be okay because of his belief system. It was fascinating. He should be a motivational speaker, I think, if anything else.
You know, the best part about that is because I'm obviously down there. I'm in the interview room with Arch when he does them, and it was just one question. I think Arch might have asked him 2 questions, and it was so compelling just where he went. The emotion he spoke with. He was emotional, Mooten was, when he got done. Like, you could tell. And then I was really happy to be able to hand him the $1,000 gift ticket at Solomon Brothers to be in the player of the game, because when you hear someone so grateful for every opportunity, and he talked about the locker room, too, and I thought it was very telling the things he said about the locker room, where he said, you know, this is a group where everybody's got everybody's back. We're all picking each other up. We're all close. It's a lot of guys in that locker room. There's a couple of jerks in there somewhere. You got to know that when you get 90 guys in a room, there's not everybody's nice. And just how he spoke about everyone and what it's meant for this part of his NFL journey and acknowledging that he's an undrafted guy and all that kind of stuff. It was really good stuff.
Yeah. You want to see guys like that succeed no matter where they land.
You know, the most, you got to think about this, how surreal this is for a lot of these guys that are getting cut. They will never put on a helmet and shoulder pads again. It's over.
It's sobering for a lot of them, yeah.
Or not sobering. I'll go the other direction. Depression, substance abuse, many failed relationships.
Wow. That took a nosedive. Right, we were talking earlier, though. So when my husband made the Falcons roster, he was, I think, just hanging out in his hotel room with his playbook, and everyone was getting knocks on their door. And – nobody knocked on his, but nobody also told him that he made the roster.
So he was like in this torturous purgatory.
He had a friend reach out to him and was like, hey, man, congrats. And he was like, what are you talking about? And he literally pulled up AtlantaFalcons.com and saw his name on the 53-man roster, and that's how he found out. Like, there was no like, phone call, no email, no text message, like nothing.
It's unbelievable. And obviously, if you guys don't know, Nikki's husband's Michael Palmer, played tight end here for a while, played at Clemson as well,
yeah.
And ended up playing for the Steelers. It's funny, so if the Turk doesn't knock on your door, no one knocks on your door. You don't get a call, nothing. You're just
nothing.
Like, hey, I guess I haven't heard, the knocking has stopped in the hallway, and I'm still here.
And he's still there. And then when he was in Pittsburgh, same thing happened. He was in the hotel. And there was another tight end that was messing with him, came and knocked on his door, and Michael gathered his stuff up in his backpack. He's like, well, shit, I guess this is it. And he was like, I got you, man. He was like, that was not funny. And same thing, ended up making the roster. Nobody told
him. How long
did
he last in the league?
5 years.
Was he happy? Was he okay when it ended? Because that's kind of tough for a lot of guys.
You know, he's built different. That was never his identity. You know, like
right.
he told me, you know, his rookie year at the Falcons, they were at the rookie, symposium or whatever it's called now. And he was getting business cards from, you know, marketing, like Tim Zlowski, like people like that, because
yeah.
he was always in sports marketing thinking, like he was always thinking ahead, right? And at the end of 5 years, you know, he's a big journaler, and he went back and read his thoughts physically about his body and his mind and where he was in November, December, and me seeing him wake up on Monday mornings, and he was like, I think I'm good. You know, I'm vested. I'm super fortunate and grateful for that. And I'm ready to start the next phase of life. And 3 kids later, here we are. So, you know.
You know, Randy McMichael.
Life comes at you fast.
Yeah, it really
Randy
does.
McMichael, when he was done, he was okay with it. He goes, I'm good. I got my fill. I'm good.
Yeah.
He only lasted 10 years. Hugh Douglas, he goes, I'm good. I'm done. That's kind of good because a lot of people struggle with that.
Yeah.
I mean, look at all the bands that are still on tour. And the 70-year-old lead singers who can no longer sing, but their checks aren't bouncing.
Yeah.
But
well, I think Nikki said it. It's some guys, it's their identity.
Yeah. Well, you look at all these high schoolers now. I mean, my gosh, people are putting so much into these 17, 16-year-old kids, you know, telling them how great they are. But unless you have a good program around you that's like teaching you about, you know, finances, teaching you about the
right.
business side of stuff, teaching you about, hey, what does this look like? Afterwards, I never forget when Gino was at West Virginia, and I kid you not, I'm asking him a question. I'm like, well, hey, like, what's something else other than football you're interested in? No lie, he told me, this is it. This is all I want to do. And I was like, man, I hope it works out for you.
Luckily, he's had a second coming in his career, too.
Right?
I mean, after the debacle up in New York, and then he bounced around, and now, you know, out there, got that deal with Seattle's played well. It's good for him.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock tomorrow. I have to be trimmed down to 53. What are the different aspects of that we're going to dive into next? You had something you mentioned on text last night.
Yes, Terry Fontenot, and he talked about how they're building this roster is not kind of how they're getting down to the 53 tomorrow at 4 o'clock is not quite the way you would expect it to be done.
And not to mention, you got 16 practice players too.
Yeah.
Be activated and not activated. All right, that's coming up next on The Morning Shift. Sports Radio 99 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're gonna get on down now.
We're talking all things Atlanta sports and beyond. This is The Morning Shift.
Make some noise!
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to The Morning Shift, Sports Radio 99 Game. Got Tribble in for Tiffany. Mickey Noto Palmer and old Squid Billy over there. Falcons mercifully wrapped up the preseason. 31-0 loss, but who cares? Now it's for real. A week from Sunday, the Steelers come to town. And the optimism people surrounding this team is it's legit. I tried to manufacture optimism for this team last year. That, you know, Desmond Ridder can make some plays. He'll be all right. It's going to be okay. They can run the ball and this, that, and the other, and we saw how that ended up. This is legit optimism.
Yeah, it's a completely different vibe. And I think you just go, remember what the issue was last year when the thing – take the quarterback position and let's not focus on it. But remember when the wheels started kind of to come off last year? You know, Grady goes down, no big deal. We'll roll in Kentavious Street. But then Kentavious Street goes down. At one point, Onyemata was hurt. You still had Dupree and Calais Campbell at the time. But all these defensive linemen that, you know, you went back and it was almost like 21 and 22 again. And look, I'm a big fan of Lakell London. I like the dude a lot. I think he's played pretty well. But at one point last year, he was in there in that starting rotation. And you like all that optimism that you had on a day like today, Rob, was gone because you were down defensive linemen left and right. There's 9 guys that you can make a case for defensive line wise that should be on this roster come tomorrow at 4:00.
Well, Terry Fontenot digging the vibes, bruh.
Number one, someone that can do that, right? Someone that can. Offense, defense, and with confidence because he's done it. Someone that has that wealth of knowledge and that depth as a coach. But then, like you said, someone you can have that kind of positivity and that kind of – but yet also there's no complacency. Yeah. And there is a standard that's set, a standard of work, and everything we do, whether we're talking about the players on the field, the coaches, the staff, there's a certain standard and an expectation in every department. And whether we're talking about the video department or whether you're talking about the secondary –
yeah, talking about, I guess, the vibes and with Raheem Morris, that was obviously from Arch and West. Before the game, we had Raheem Morris up there with us. And, you know, we have that cut that we play of Terry where he's like, it's not an arrogance, it's a confidence. And I told him straight up, I go, dude, you know how much we use that cut whenever you start cooking and you're doing something like that? That cut is, and he looked at me, he smiled and he goes, because it's not an arrogance, it's a confidence. And I go, I know. I get it now. Like, you had us all kind of back on our heels. But let's go to the cut, Dylan, where he literally talked about the fact of how they were cutting this roster down. And I think a lot of us as fans, we sit there, right? And we go, okay, when you're creating your roster and you're getting down from 90 to 53, mm-hmm. These are the guys you want on this team for the entire year. Right? That's how you're doing it. That's how I think about it. If I'm cutting, you know, we sit here, but that's not how Terry and Raheem are doing it. You know, Terry talked about the fact that they're doing this, and tomorrow when they make the final cuts and they put them into the league of who they're keeping, it is all about September 8th against the Steelers. It is not about the year and what they want.
It's significant. These games really matter. Okay. These games really matter, and especially the way we operate in the preseason, these guys, that they get a lot of reps, these guys that are really fighting for those spots, and these games matter. You know, one thing you brought up last week is you talk about guys that have been on the practice squad and seeing the growth, and when you look at guys like a guy like Carlos, right, and Carlos Washington last year, he had a really good offseason, and then he got into the preseason, and he came back from the offseason a little bit out of shape and hadn't took care of himself on that break, and so he didn't have good preseason games, right? Despite the good things he had done, he didn't have good preseason games, never really gained his footing. We release him. We're honest with him. We told him what it was. He wasn't in shape, and so now we ended up signing him back. He's taken ownership of it. He's had a great offseason. He went home. He came back in great, outstanding shape. Didn't even go home very long because he wanted to stay in shape. And he's had a great – he's done well in the games. Or look at a guy like Nate Brooks. Again, a guy that's been on our practice squad. and the guy that just all he does is work, and you get in that game yesterday, you're going to tell me that doesn't make an impact?
Yeah, he hit
everything that moved.
Yeah.
So it really matters when what happens in these games and what happens this game tonight.
When he calls out people by name, don't you think that's a kind of a foreshadowing there on the roster?
No. I think it means that they have they're in good standing. I don't 100%. I think Natron Brooks is a name for me that I'm curious what they do with, because he's kind of in no man. He's a little bit in no man's land in the fact that his versatility is just that of a cornerback, and you've got guys like King and Hamilton that can play quite a few positions. And that's what's interesting to me. Like, to me, Kevin King is a guy that I think probably has a good spot and has a chance to make this roster, because not only can he play that outside cornerback spot, he can move inside too. And they've used him at times at that dime and that nickel linebacker position. And he can, and Hamilton's and Antonio Hamilton the same way. So for me, that's interesting. But Natron Brooks, if he makes this roster, it's going to be as a special teams guy and another cornerback. And he has shown he can play, but I'm not sure where he lands. I'm just not. So of the cuts that have already been made, Bradley and I know he had a sack the other night, but I didn't think he was necessarily did a lot of things to make the roster, especially in games. So it's interesting. I just don't know where some of these guys. I know obviously he's not here, but that wasn't a surprising cut for me. Story Jackson wasn't a surprising cut. Now, Donovan Mooten being one of the first guys gone, that was surprising to me. And Milo Eifler is still on the roster. Does that mean he might have a chance to make it? And what does that mean for guys like Damone Harris and James Smith-Williams? I don't know.
There's a part of me, too, that always wonders what maybe the rubric is, so to speak, for certain positions, right? Like, do you want to see them get X amount of tackles? Do you want to see them get X amount of reps and, you know, yards after catch? Like, what exactly are they looking at to put them in a spot where it's like, hey, they met what we were looking for? Because even when I hear Terry say, like, well, he was just out of shape, but then came back, it's like, well, how can you get out of shape and in shape that fast too, right? So is it out of shape, or is it combined with, you know, certain rubric numbers? Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes precise sense. Those are a lot of the intangibles, who things
right.
We don't necessarily see. We see what they do during a preseason game, but we don't see what they do in practice, how they conduct themselves in meetings, and all those other things that go into evaluation.
Yeah, that is one of the things that we have to remember too, is that hey, this is a guy that's doing things.
Mm-hmm.
They've clearly put an emphasis on their practices and their scrimmage, like the scrimmage they had on Tuesday. There was a lot of emphasis put on that. Maybe it was Tuesday, maybe it might have been Wednesday, but a lot of emphasis was put on that and what they got out of it. And that's one of the, and Raheem said, like, I'm not playing starters in the preseason. And I know a lot of people are upset with that. I think some people went over the top with it on Friday about
how do y'all feel about that? I feel it'd been nice. I saw Patrick Mahomes play. You see Trevor Lawrence play. It'd be nice. How long is it going to take the first team to kind of get in sync? Is it going to take a couple of games? How much growing pains will there be there?
I think at least one possession would have been nice.
Right.
Like, I mean, one offensive possession, one defensive possession, just to, I think fans like to see it. We've been waiting so long. All of these names that have been signed, like, sure, having an opening home game against the Steelers of all teams, too, that'll be exciting. But, like, give the fans a chance to clap, to be excited, you know, to see him come out in full in uniform, ready to go. I think no one got hurt, so that's good. But one possession each would have been nice.
Yeah, it's comforting, especially to your point, Nikki, where you didn't have an open training camp this year because of the construction. You had basically these fans I think it's a good point, they've only seen these guys twice, and some of them haven't seen them at all because – Maybe they did get to go to second year high school for that open practice. Maybe they did get to go to Mercedes-Benz Stadium that one Friday for that open practice. But the rest of these people, they haven't seen them at all, at all. And so it's that you're going in there. It's a catch-22 for me, because if you don't play well in that opening game, even if you win, if you don't play well, people are going to say, "See,
pointing fingers, yeah."
See, and then if you do play well, oh well, you know. But the likelihood of any mistake, they're going to be like, "Well, see if they had played in the preseason." And in reality, it's not they're seeing what they want to see. So I think I talked with Fricky on Saturday, Rob, and I went on and I was like, you know, I think it you're gonna take what, if you wanted to see them, you're gonna be upset no matter what that you didn't see that. I like the fact that we only saw two guys that we thought were going to contribute this year hurt in the preseason, and that was, I guess three if you want to count Rondale Moore.
Yeah.
But with Braylon Trice going down and DeMarco Helms, so you haven't seen Judon, you haven't seen Justin Simmons much, well, at all, if you're a fan. So you're curious, mm-hmm. and if they don't play well off the start, you're going to use that.
Well, and some were late additions, too.
Yeah.
I mean, just... what, 2 weeks ago, if that, 10 days ago?
Yeah, but how much did Trevor Lawrence going against third stringers help him in the regular season? I don't know if that helped him. Yeah.
So I don't think it hurt him.
No, I don't think it hurt him, but I don't know if it helped him either. I think it was the risk worse the reward is what I'm saying there.
Well, he certainly looked good.
Yeah, and well, he did.
And he better, too, though, because he got that big contract.
He should dominate, right?
But shouldn't he look good? And yeah. With all due respect, shouldn't he look good going against...
third string.
Yeah, Trey Vavall and Anthony Johnson and Natron Brooks. I mean, shouldn't he look good against those guys?
All right, we're going to come back. We're going to bask in the glory of an upset victory that happened in Dublin. Not only the fact that it happened, the way it happened. It's a new era for Georgia Tech football. Coming up next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 929 The Game.
To more of the Morning Shift
with Tiffany, Mike, and Bo on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Morning Shift. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Go to morganandmorgan.com. Georgia Tech football.
Let's talk about it.
Man, I'm telling you, for the last several years and intermittently throughout the last several decades, Georgia Tech football has been nothing but a Volkswagen filled with clowns. That changed on Saturday. Stirring upset over Florida State, 24-21 the final. And people, it's the way that last seven-minute death march until the inevitable game-winning field goal. And it's funny watching game day. Everyone on that set picked Florida State except for the Irish wrestler.
Seamus,
yeah.
He's like, you got to go to Georgia Tech. I was like, whoa, hey, well, that's great. You know, it's funny as they all thought the same things, that Florida State was going to run it down Tech's throat, which I thought was interesting because no one really thought about it, that Georgia Tech could run the ball on Florida State. No one even really seemed mm-hmm. to mention that. And Georgia Tech, they've got a pretty good offensive line.
It was a top 10 offensive line last year, and those guys are all back. They've all played a ton of games together. They're physical. They inflicted their will on Florida State.
Some of those guys that were on that offensive line didn't even play, too. Like that's how much better. Like I think it's McKinney. You know, actually, Mike coached him at Lassiter, and he started most of last year for them, and he wasn't even playing. And they had a couple of transfers. They got the kid coming in this next season, Petty, right?
From my kid's school.
Yeah, and so he's coming in next year to help. But they're trenchers. It was the fact that Georgia Tech was, to me, that they could swell up against Florida State's run game. Florida State averaged, like, they had 30-something carries. Didn't even get over 100 yards.
I feel like it does feel wrong talking about all this offensive line talk without Mike here.
It does, and I just want to crush offensive line, which is not here, because I say
but
anything
But that's how they won the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they controlled the line of scrimmage. They did awesome.
And Haynes King didn't make mistakes.
Tough is he, though?
Dude,
he's almost too tough for his own good. You're wondering, can you stay healthy doing that? Running the ball the way he does, and he sticks his hat in there. But he's dangerous.
You have a good quarterback. You have a good running back. And Haynes.
Mm-hmm. Haynes and Haynes.
Yeah, it's the Haynes show. Singleton can make plays.
America's second largest injury law firm, Haynes and Haynes.
Right behind Morgan and Morgan, right? me and Dade were talking, but remember there's the play where I think it's on the final drive where the botch snap, because Singleton's in motion.
Right.
That's when the snap comes. They drop it, and then he's able to find the crossing route to gain good bit of yardage back to put get them back in field goal range.
Well, that was the play after that. I think he picked that up in a keeper, and he managed to maybe get a couple of yards out of it. There's still was still a loss, but
it was third and I think 12, and he got it back to third and fourth and two to kick that field goal. That wasn't an easy field goal either, and he had missed one earlier.
Yeah, but he's got a big leg though. I think he made a 62-yarder in the spring game, so the leg was there. You thought about maybe the accuracy, but there was no doubt about that one.
Well, college kickers, week zero, so you don't know what you're going to get.
If I told you that DJ Uiagalelei was 19 of 27.
Can you say his name one more time?
DJ Uiagalelei.
DJ Ukulele.
If I told you he was 19 of 27 for right around 200 yards, do you think they would have lost?
No.
What if I told you that 13 of his 19 completions were for 5 yards or less?
Yeah.
Or thrown 5 yards or less?
Do y'all think it's a bit of a red flag when guys jump around from school to school to school?
Yes.
Who's the common denominator? Look in the mirror, right?
Yeah.
Well, look at Dylan Gabriel, who was in UCF for, what, 2 or 3 years, jumps to Oklahoma for a year, and now he's out at Oregon. I don't know if that's going to work either. For me, though, I look at his story and I look at DJ's story, and they're completely separate.
Yeah.
Because I think he left to go to Oklahoma because he thought maybe a better opportunity to get noticed, system, all that kind of stuff. And then I honestly don't know why he went from Oklahoma to Oregon, other than maybe he thought it might be easier to win going from, going into the Big Ten than the SEC. I don't know. But with DJ, it's different. He was there for a year under Trevor Lawrence. Then he's just not really the guy at Clemson for, 2 years? Then he goes to Oregon State to kind of redo his career, and I think he thought that he had done enough. And now, hey, look, I'm going to jump to Florida State. I can go win a national title maybe or maybe compete, maybe get noticed and for in that Heisman contention. First game didn't necessarily work out well for him.
Let's hear from Brent Key after the game. A very succinct answer to a question.
This is the best.
Run the ball.
There you go.
I love it. So simple. Spoken like a true former offensive lineman.
Right,
my Birmingham brethren, Brent Key. I love that guy.
Do you think 5 years, this is what, this is like 5 years now, I think, removed from, or maybe almost six removed from Paul Johnson. Do you think that they would be sitting here saying, hey, we won a ball game 24-21, and we controlled the line of scrimmage, and we iced the game with 7 minutes left to go kick the game?
Well, Paul Johnson actually tweeted out, big congratulations. Yes, big congratulations to Georgia Tech. He hated Jeff Collins. Paul Johnson had a big issue with Jeff Collins.
Well,
and Brent Key kind of embraced him and brought him back as Georgia Tech fan. And I love Paul Johnson. He won a lot of games. His offense, when it was humming, it was a thing of beauty. But when it was not, when it wasn't working, it set football back 50 years.
He always gave me the best sound bites walking off the field. I mean, that guy.
I liked him a little grouchy. I like coaches that are a little grouchy.
Yeah. He's got some great memes out there and GIFs.
Well, would you rather want a real soundbite or the James Franklin fluff?
I want an unhinged Paul Johnson, and I really want an unhinged Brent Key because it's in there.
The reason Jeff, let's be honest though about the Paul Johnson Jeff Collins beef, that was Jeff Collins' fault because Jeff Collins goes in his press conference when he takes over and talks about how he's going to build tradition at Georgia Tech. Dude, what? I'm sorry. I think Tech's got a little bit of tradition when you got named, Bobby Dodd and Heisman. They've won national titles. You're not building anything at Georgia Tech. You're just retooling a program that was a different philosophy than you with the way they built their program offensively. Brent Key didn't do any of that, so when you go in there and you basically crap all over the guy that's been there, who's won, in his own right, national titles in college football at Georgia Southern and has been as successful
made Navy
as
relevant.
Paul Johnson, and won ACC titles at Tech.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff Collins went in there with this mindset that he was going to reinvent football at Georgia Tech, and then the biggest thing he did was, have the guys lift weights on the sidelines. That was probably his biggest accomplishment at Georgia Tech. So let's be honest about that, why there was a beef there. But Brent Key is that throwback from the George O'Leary days.
Well, that's who he played for.
Mm-hmm.
Tutor.
So he coached
and he also
too.
Learned the nuances and what it takes to run a successful program working for Nick Saban. He said Nick Saban's imprint is all over the Georgia Tech program.
And
lots of programs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look at Texas now.
I mean, his coaching tree, it's everywhere in college football. Yeah.
And how many – not only did he put guys out there, but he actually remade guys like Sark.
Sark, Kiffin. Mm-hmm. I mean, he saved them in many ways, not just football, but who they are as a man.
Yeah, and you look at the Giants, Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
Saban. Mm-hmm. You know, he's put out radio personalities too. I mean, the Mike Johnsons of the world, they don't grow on trees.
I mean, I worked in athletics too at Alabama.
Oh, yeah,
so,
that's right.
You know, broadcast major, worked in media relations for the University of Alabama. So here we are.
See what
coaching tree continues is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Look at Nick Saban. Nick Saban has not only put out successful broadcasters, but coaches as well. And now he's doing it himself on game day.
Well, Nick Saban called Georgia Tech a dark horse in the ACC, and the way they won this game this past weekend, nothing gimmicky about it. Schedule, though.
Did you notice how Georgia Tech football's Twitter account and social media accounts was putting receipts out on everybody
yes.
over the weekend?
As they should.
I love it.
I'm so here for pettiness.
Again, this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. Shall we return to the Falcons? Top of the hour, got to get the roster down to 53. And who the hell is going to be the quarterback for the Steelers week one?
I got all the answers.
Well, you think you do. We're going to listen to Squid Labor and his delusions next on the Morning Shift Sports Radio 99 again.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.